Praise the Lord for His grace and His mercy that He's allowed us to come into His presence today. Amen. With His saints to expound upon His scriptures that we might hear from Him, our Savior. Amen. We need to hear from Him if we're going to worship Him. I'm very honored to be here. I appreciate all the brothers that put this on, that God gave them a vision and a burden. Amen. And a desire and their fortitude and faithfulness to be obedient to the Lord. And I'm honored to be here. Don't take it lightly. And we appreciate y'all and how God's using y'all, brother. And I really appreciated the preaching in the park. Amen. And what a couple of nights that I got to go and attend. And it was a blessing. And I appreciate y'all and y'all's zeal for the Lord. And we just looking forward to what God's going to continue to do in y'all and through y'all for His glory. Amen. Amen. And it's been a blessing. I thank all the ladies that cook and clean and been serving us in the back and y'all's willingness to serve in that capacity. We thank y'all and appreciate y'all. And I know we all appreciate Brother Runny and for ministering to all of us. Amen. And we continue to pray for his dear wife, Michonne. We love them. And he has been a mentor and down through the years to me. And taught me. I mean, I went through the seminary extension, amen. And so I appreciate him, his faithfulness to continually to pour himself out, amen. We love you, brother. Appreciate you. Thank God for you. And I know he'd like to say thank you for y'all's prayers for him and Miss Sean. I know he does. He covets our prayers, and we love you, brother. Appreciate you. And we have been feasting at the Lord's table with the meat of the Word of God. Last night, beginning in the throne room, Brother Ronnie, as we saw worship, amen, in heaven. And then this morning, Brother Brad, amen. The object of our worship is good. Thank you, brother. Amen. Then Brother Bo, thank you, brother, for worship of the Old Testament. We appreciate it. Bless me. And I've been fed here this week. Thank you, Brother Craig, for the message we've just received. And it's a blessing to be able to come and get with like-minded brethren to feast upon the meat of the Word of God. And y'all have fed us with the meat of the Word of God. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. But now we're just down to peas and cornbread. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2. The book of Mark, chapter 2. They called and asked me to preach on worship in action. Worship in action. And I began to pray and seek the Lord. And God, you're going to have to give me a word. Worship in action. Now, worship, praise is a part of worship. And we've been talking a lot about that. Prayer is a part of worship. Preaching is a part of worship. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear without preaching? And so we know that praise and worship is vocal, it's audible, and it's visible. He even says over in the Psalms, praise Him with dancing. And us Baptists don't get on that scripture much. Now, if you go to some of the countries I go to, they get with it, amen? Praise God. So it's visible. Praise is, there's instruments of praise. We got them right here. You can go on and on with that. Psalms 150 tells you all about that. There is the intercession of praise, and then there's the involvement of praise and worship. And us Baptists, we have become spectators more than we are participators. Amen. In worship. Yep. Worship. Now, in our text now, if you will stand in the reverence of the reading of God's Word in Mark chapter 2. Now, there's a fourfold ministry of every child of God. And that, first and foremost, as we've already seen, I mean, with every message, is worship is first. There's the ministry of worship. There's the ministry of the Word. There's the ministry of work and the ministry of witness. But we cannot effectively rightly divide the Word of truth unless we have worshiped the Word, Jesus Christ. We cannot effectively be involved in the work that He's called us to do unless we have worshiped Jesus Christ. And we cannot effectively witness until we have worshiped Him. So Mark 2, let's come down to verse 14. And it says, we'll start in 13. Mark 2:13. And He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto Him, and He taught them. And as He passed by, He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of customs, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, and many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Spirit You put in our hearts to call You Abba Father. And Lord, that You give us an audience at Your very throne today, that we can bow in Your presence. And Lord, You know our uprisings, our downsettings, the very intent of our heart. And Lord, we're asking You through these series of messages and meetings, Lord, You would change us from glory to glory in Your glorious image. Lord, we confess, I confess, I've not arrived, I've not obtained. But, oh Lord, I am in pursuit of Thee. Help us, oh Lord, to grow in the grace and the knowledge that we may be all that You desire us to be. That You can do all that You desire to do in us and through us for Your glory. Help us now, Lord. Speak to us. We have need of You. Work in the realm of the supernatural and do what we cannot do in the realm of the natural. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. This is the call of Levi, who is Matthew. The only gospel that says his name is Matthew is Matthew. And he only mentions his name twice. Now here is a call. Jesus comes and extends to him a call. Follow me. Period. And he follows him. Just like that. I mean, there is no confession of faith. No, they didn't lead him in a little ABC prayer. He didn't say, lift your hand and pray this and do that. There was no psychological questions and answers. There was no theological dissertation involved. There were no hypothetical analyses. There was a call and obedience. That's all. Sometimes we are far removed from the simplicity of Christ. Because we forget who He is. He can do anything He wants to, any way He wants to, whether we like it or not. And what I have found out, every time I think I got God in my little theological box, He gets out. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a God that I can't figure out. If I could figure out God, I'd be God. That's right. Praise God that I'm not God. that he's God, and I'm glad you're not God and he's God. Amen. We can't even keep our own life right, amen? Right. Much less the affairs of this crazy, depraved world we live in. And so we see the call of Christ. There's just three things here I want to get through briefly. There's the call of Christ, the commitment of Christ, and communion of Christ. Now notice what I said. There's the call of Christ. There is the commitment of Christ. And the communion of Christ. Now first of all, we see the call of Christ. I mean, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. That at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And brother, you don't make him Lord. He is Lord. God made him Lord. Amen. And if you refuse to bow into his lordship here and serve him here and surrender to him here and submit to him here, then brother, on the other side of the great white throne judgment, you will be summoned up and there you will confess that he's Lord and your knee will bow and you will crumble in his presence and you will confess because there God will even be glorified in your damnation. The brother, one brother done said it, amen. He's Lord. He has all power and authority because he's sovereign, that the dear brothers done eloquently spoke to us about. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Period. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We have seen the worship of the Old Testament. We've seen the worship of the New Testament. We've seen the worship in heaven and the object of our worship. But there's a common thread that runs through all. And that's obedience. The call. Those that receive the effectual call will respond in obedience. You can't help yourself. It ain't about me. It's about him. See, it's Christ that calls. And so we see in 1 Samuel 15:22, obedience is better than sacrifice and the hearken than the fat of rams. That's Old Testament. But Acts 5:32 says, God hath given the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. New Testament. And I ain't going to get into all that. What came first, obedience or faith? The faith of obedience. You can't separate the two. That's right. Now you theologians going to chew on that. Go ahead. It ain't going to bother me. Hebrews 5:9 says, the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. There's something to this obedience. Obedience. So we see the call. Jesus said, follow me. That was enough. He just got up and followed. That's obedience. As Brother Craig's done eloquently spoke to us about praise and worship, Jesus said the hour is coming when worship will be no more in Samaria or Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Worship is the inner spiritual reality. It's not a geographical locality. The people that says the only place that we can worship God is in a physical building does not know the God that they worship. I mean, brethren, it's not about a locality. And he even mentioned in Matthew 15, in vain they worship me. Worship is the inner manifestation of the heart as expression toward God in daily obedience. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and holy and acceptable will of God. Amen. God's got a plan for your life if he's called you. And it ain't just to get out of hell free card. God saves us to glorify Himself. And He desires to live innocent through us right here, right now, as we're upon this earth, that He may receive glory. Right. Worship is not an external, localized act that provokes an emotional experience. It's what the modern day church thinks. Right. We'll sing it 1,000 times. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee. And after about an hour, I'm exhausted, I'm exhausted. Until it provokes an emotional experience. Oh, I got goosebumps. And man, I felt this and I felt that. And then they leave, say, boy, I worship God. But then they leave and go out and live a life of direct disobedience to the Word of God. What they did in here was in vain. In vain. It's a daily expression of allegiance to God. We worship corporately and congregationally. That's in the Psalms. In thy congregation I lift up my lips in praise, the psalmist said. But you listen, worship is privately and individually. To the degree that I worship Him privately and individually will be to the degree that I worship Him privately and publicly and corporately. And do you know why most people come to church and they don't sing and they don't worship and they don't praise and they don't get into it, amen? Because they ain't doing it out yonder.
Amen.
If you ain't doing it out yonder, you sure ain't going to do it up in here. Praise. Worship. See, my worship is a reflection of His worth and His value to me. Now, He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the God of all of creation. All things was created by Him and for Him. And by Him all things exist. He is worthy of my praise just simply because He called me. He said, follow me. And He got up and followed. Why? Because He's worthy. Worthy of obedience, not questioning, just obedience. You see, this Christ is our treasure. This Christ should be what we cherish. And if we treasure Him, what would He say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Him first. Why? Because He's worthy. And if I treasure Him and cherish Him, I'll pray to Him and I'll praise Him for Him. Amen. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Just because He's Him, I'll praise Him. And I'll be obedient to Him and submissive to Him and surrender to Him. The call is Christ. And He calls because He's the Christ. He is the anointed of God that God's ordained before the foundation of the world. And if He don't call, ain't nobody else qualified.
Right.
So we see the call of Christ. See, the call is about Him being praised. Now let's go on to the next point. Now not only do we see the call, Christ's call, the call of Christ, but folks, there's a conflict of the call. There's conflict in the call. And I hope this ministers to some of us this morning. See, we're talking about what does worship look like? Worship in action, that was my assignment. Keep that in mind. There's conflict. Look in our text in verse 16. The scribes and the Pharisees saw that He ate with the publicans and sinners, and they had a hissy fit. Let me tell you something. You start following Christ and you start walking obedience to Christ, I tell you what, it's going to raise a fuss with some folks.
Yep.
The religious crowd is usually the ones that kick up first. I mean, He's eating with sinners. Who does He think He is? And what even Brother Bo was teaching us about the Old Testament, I mean, rightfully so. They said, man, He's defiling Himself. He's receiving the publicans. That's a tax collector. He skims off the top. He's wealthy. And man, he's sometimes they'd be even stingy. And you know what I'm talking about. And He's in there with them. Conflict of the call. You know what the Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 10? There's three things I want you to see. There's going to be conflict if Christ has called you. And we're going to see worship in action here. First of all, there's conflict with your family. He says in Matthew 10, verse 34, "Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be they of his own household. And he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me." Now that's some pretty hard words. He is saying your love for your family should not supersede your love for Christ. Your love for them should not cause you to be distracted from your obedience to Him. And brother, when that comes about, it causes conflict. You remember Jesus had two brothers, James and Jude? Could you imagine them getting together on the holy feast days to observe the holy feast days? And I could just imagine, because they didn't believe till after the resurrection. Who do you think you are? Running around here telling everybody you're the Son of God. You're not the Son of God. You're Joseph's son, just like we are. Won't you come down off of your high horse? I mean, how about some of your family? You ever been around your family reunion, our party, amen? And they think, well, you just think you're better than everybody else because you go to church. Come on, folks. There's conflict in this call of Christ. Even in our families, it causes division. There's a cost to this call. I mean, it causes division in our families. A good example is this. Was in a meeting in one of the conferences in India, and a woman stood up and her eye was black and her old head was swollen. And she gave a testimony. She said, "I come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. I denounced the Hindu gods and now I'm a follower of Jesus. I went home and told my husband and he beat me. Every day my husband gets up every morning and beats me and demands me to go worship the Hindu god." She said, "I will not. And my husband's even told me one day he will kill me." She said, "But I will not denounce Christ." Amen. That's what worship looks like. That's what worship looks like. That's worship in action. What did he say over there in the book of Luke in 9? One said, "I'll follow you, Lord." And he said, "You don't know what you're asking. Yep. The foxes have holes, the bird of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You don't understand the call and the cost of what you're saying. See, we got a lot of people out there that say, "Boy, oh, I'll follow Jesus. You know, I'll follow him." I think Brother Craig was with me on a particular trip, and there was a woman in that crowd. Stood up. She said, "I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have excommunicated me out of the village. I'm not allowed to go draw water from my village. I cannot even go to my house and see my own family." And when she was sitting there, she said, "I come to here because I need some materials so I can grow in the knowledge and the grace of who Jesus Christ is so I can go and minister the gospel to my peace." Boy, I said, praise God. God brought that passage in my mind. That's worship, folks. That's what worship looks like. I mean, when your own family, amen, that other guy, Jesus said, "Follow me." He said, "Well, I'll follow you, but let me first go bury my father." He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Another one said, "Well, I'll follow you, Lord, but suffer me first to go bid farewell." Listen, if it's suffer me first, that means you're putting yourself first before Him. That ain't worship. That's right. See, that's our problem. We want to worship God on our terms, our way, when we want to and how we want to. Folks, that ain't worship. We have seen repeatedly message after message after message. If you're going to worship God, you're going to have to do it on God's terms, His way. When you start giving all these excuses, he said, "A man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." You can call it worship, but he said in vain. See, we're seeing what worship looks like. I mean, this worship, not only it'll bring conflict with our friends, but our family. Listen what he says in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. In verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, you're not of the world, you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I've spoken to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. That's what Jesus said. There's going to be conflict with your friends. You remember before you got saved? I mean, we were all children of darkness and disobedient. We have certain friends, and when the Lord saved us, we began to immediately follow Him, and we lost some friends. Now, it's not necessarily they don't like you. They just don't like Christ in you. That's being magnified and glorified. And when He has been exalted, He said, if I be lifted up, I draw men to me. And when you're around them and He's been exalted and glorified, and brother, it brings conviction upon them, and they don't want to be around you no more. Your friends will leave you. So we see there's conflict with our family, and there's conflict with friends, but there's also conflict with our finances. Remember that rich young ruler come to Jesus, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? Right off the bat, Jesus said, listen, don't call no man good. Don't follow me as a teacher. Don't follow me as a rabbi. I'm God. So what I'm finna tell you, you better mark it down as the Word of God. He said, obey the commandments. He said, I've done that. All right. Now I'm finna get where the modern day church is at. He said, go sell everything you got, give it to poor and follow me. No, Jesus, you misunderstood. I'm not interested in following you.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go to hell.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just want to get some fire insurance.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know, I've been a good boy. I've kept the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So I'm in. Jesus said, no, go sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Follow me. Folks, I'm telling you, there's a cost to following Christ. No, I'm not giving you my stuff. And folks, here's where a lot of us is at. This is the problem we got right here. Here's a conflict in our call right here for some of us right here. There's a conflict in our call over our finances. Yeah. Let me tell you something. He don't need your stuff. He uses gold for pavement. He uses precious jewels for construction material and the walls of heaven. He don't need your bank account. But I tell you what, He knows He ain't got you unless He's got your bank account.
Right.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy substance. You're going to have to get to the place that God, take my bank, take my finances, God, take everything. It ain't mine. It's yours. Amen.
Amen.
It's yours. That's what worship looks like. When you have been reduced and it's not about you, it's all about Him. Oh boy, that guy said, no, this is too hard. And he walked away sorrowful. There's got to be another way. Then Peter said, Lord, we forsook everything to follow you. And he said, Peter, you listen to me. Ain't a man here alive that ain't forsook everything to follow me. That I ain't blessed him in this world and the world to come.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He don't want your stuff.
That's right.
He wants your sincerity. To get you to the end of your stuff, that you love Him more than you love your stuff. And most people just won't let go. Y'all remember over in that book of Luke chapter 5? They've toiled all night, caught nothing. They behind on the boat payment. Matthew, the tax collector's breathing down their neck. They're backed up on taxes. Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Boy, to cast that out there. And they're launched out in the deep and cast your net. And brother, caught so many fish, the boat sunk. Called their partners, James and John, come on, filled up two boats. Come to the bank. Now, y'all put this in perspective. Jesus said, follow me, and henceforth you shall catch men. Now, Jesus, if you would have said that before this big boatload of fish, I'd have followed you. But Jesus, now we can pay our back taxes. We can buy another boat, put on some more hands. Boy, I'm telling you, we're fixing to hit it big. I'm going to tell you something, folks. In the ministry, I've seen young men and young men and young men and young men that God's called. And every time this comes forward before their eyes, a boatload of fish, and they will forsake the call to follow the fish. And one in particular, amen, has done lost his family, his ministry, and he's lost it all. Conflict in finances, you better give it to him.
Amen.
Give it to him. Amen. That's worship. If you can't trust the Lord with your money, you ain't no sense trying to trust Bob Edwards or whoever his name is. I don't even know none, amen. Conflict, let me move on. Listen, what he says in Romans 6. In Romans 6 and verse 16. Know you not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servant you are whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now what does worship look like? Who you yield yourself to is who you're the servant of. Obedience to righteousness or disobedience unto sin. Y'all remember Abraham? Let's see what worship looked like. Remember Abraham? God said, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, take him up to a mountain, I'm going to show you, and there you give him for a burnt offering. That burnt offering is an offering that's completely consumed. He probably tries to negotiate with God. God, well you know, why go a 3 days journey? I mean, here's nearer mountains, nicer mountains, nobler mountains. Mountains of convenience, mountains of compromise. That's how we try to worship God. We don't want to go where He says go and go out of our, you know, be inconvenient to us to go 3 days journey. We got stuff to do. But Abraham followed in obedience to God. When they got out there and God said, this is the mountain. He said, boys, y'all sit here and hold the muse. Me and the boys are going yonder to worship God. And he went up that mountain. Now we know God's a type of the Father. We know Jesus is a type of the Son. Obedient to death. But that particular mountain is Moriah, which is later believed to be Calvary,
yep,
where the ultimate sacrifice for our sin.
Amen.
There's a particular mountain you can worship God on. Not just any mountain that you're choosing. You better get what God says get. And brother, he got up that mountain. What did he do? He built an altar. What's an altar? For worship. He put the wood in obedience because God wants a burnt sacrifice. He bound his son, laid his son, and he lifted his hands. And he's not swaying to an emotional music, but he's emotional. Got a knife in that hand, an instrument of death. He's dying to his ambitions. He's dying to his desires. I love this boy with all my heart. But listen, you got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and even above your own family. Here's what worship looks like, folks. Abraham's probably got tears streaming down his face. I know he believed in the resurrection, but I tell you what, it's still hard to put a knife to your boy's throat. This is what worship looks like. Conflict in the human soul. Conflict on the inside. Will you subdue your feelings and emotions to praise Him in spite of the conflict and the circumstances? Because He's worthy.
Amen.
Because He's worthy. Above my situation. Hear so many preachers and other people say, well, I'm just going to quit. It didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Well, help yourself. It ain't about you. It's about Him. You see, brethren, here we see in what worship looks like. Remember Paul, I mean, what did he say in John? You've not chosen me, I've chosen you. And he chose the Apostle Paul in chapter 9. He said, you're a chosen vessel unto me. You're going to stand before Gentiles and Jews and you're going to preach the gospel and stand before kings. I don't want to do this. It ain't up for debate. There's the command. You're going to do it. And what did Paul do? Brother, he hit the ground running. Shut himself up to God. God taught him. God turned him loose. And brother, God began to use him. He said in Colossians 1, I've been made a minister of the gospel. I didn't choose this calling. He said repeatedly over in his epistles, amen, he says, I, the apostle of Paul, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. I didn't choose this. This is God. Philippians 1:12, he says, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He's in prison. And he said, in this I do rejoice, in verse 18, and I will rejoice because Christ is being preached. And he said, whether Christ is being magnified in my body and in my death. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because Christ is being preached and Christ is being exalted and Christ is being glorified. Listen what he said over here. I'm talking about conflict to the call, folks. I'm going to tell you something. This Christian stuff just ain't as easy as we've been sold a bill of goods on. Listen what he says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 in verse 24. For the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Night and day I've been in the depth. Journeys often in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils of the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among the brethren, in heaviness and painfulness and watching often, hungering and thirsting, fasting often and cold and nakedness. This is the conflict of the call. Why does Apostle Paul yield himself to such physical abuse? Because of the high holy calling of his Christ. How can he say no to what he's commanded me to do? And then he said over there in Philippians again, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that word mark means, the Greek word is scopus. Like a scope on a deer rifle. Boy, you get that 12-point buck, you crosshairs. And your phone goes a-ringing in your pocket. You don't answer that phone.
That's right.
You ain't distracted by what's going on out here. Skeeters is buzzing in your ears. Before they drive you crazy, you are focused. You got him in your scope. That's your mark. That's your goal. Woodpecker's pecking over there. You drive you up the wall, but you don't even hear him. You're focused.
Amen.
Your mark. What was he fixed on? The calling of his Christ. I will not deviate because of all the circumstances happening to me or around me. They will not distract me from me. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And they cut his head off. Folks, there's conflict to this call. Cost you something to follow Christ. Let me listen. I mean, brother, he is called. I mean, he called Levi. He's not called to a formula of faith. He's not called to directions of discipleship. He's not called to a dogma. He's not called to a doctrine. He's not called to a denomination. He's called by a deity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, follow me. And there's one response he followed. Now, let me give you the commitment. We'll hurry and get through. The commitment of the call. In verse 15 of our text, he said, came to pass that Jesus was set at meat in his house. I mean, Matthew called a big party together and he got his friend. See, Brother Craig mentioned it. Brother, when you get born again, brother, the first thing you want to go do is tell other people how to come get some of that water. Amen. You want to tell them about Jesus. Boy, he gathered up, got a big party together. Amen. The disciples came in there. I mean, these other publicans come in there. And brother, the sinners come in there. And they all got up in there. Together. And brother, he's ministering. And it said, and they followed him. Now, one call was all he needed. And Matthew responded. Now folks, here's the commitment. I said this is the commitment of the call. And it's not that you're committed to Him. It's that He is committed to you.
Amen.
And here's where a lot of people in the church fail to understand. It's not about my performance that He'll accept me on the basis of my performance. He's only going to accept me on the basis of His provision, Jesus Christ. He's not accepting me by what I do. He's accepting me by what He's done. He redeemed me. He justified me. He sanctified me. He's glorified me. Amen.
Praise God.
And I'm accepted because of who He is. He called me. Forgave me, justified me, sanctified me, redeemed me. I'm His. I belong to Him. And brother, He has committed Him. See, I don't have God. God's got me, amen. And more does He say over there and said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. He said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of thy hand. Listen, God's the one that keeps us saved, amen. You don't keep yourself saved. And then He goes on to say, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Brother, if He's called you, He's committed Himself to you. Y'all remember Elijah? Elijah prayed in such wickedness. He prayed Deuteronomy chapter 11. He said, God, You said if the people forsake Your commandments, You'd shut up the heaven and You'd stop the later rains and the former rains. He said, if You're ever going to do it, now's the time to do it. So the word of the Lord, amen. I mean, Elijah prayed the word of God and he was willing to suffer affliction that God would be glorified. And brother, God, shut up the heaven. No dew and no rain. But then the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go get by the brook. He went and got by that brook in obedience. God gave him, fed him with the ravens. God gave him water. God made his provisions. But the brook dried up. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, now go to the widow's house. So, well, Lord, You've been providing for me right here. I'm not going to go nowhere. I've got comfortable right here. I know my surroundings. I got faith. Those birds are going to come and water's just going to babble from that brook. It'd have sat right there and starved. The word of the Lord said, go to the widow's house. And brother, he didn't argue with God. He went. Obedient. We're talking about what faith, what worship looks like. He went. He got not to a rich widow, but a poor widow that scraped the bottom of the barrel for her last little handful of meal. And every day she scraped that barrel and the oil didn't run out. But then there came a word from the Lord. Said, Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. He went and showed himself. Obedience. And you know the story. They went up to Mount Carmel. He didn't partake of the heathen's altar. He said he rebuilt the altar of the Lord. We're going to do this God's way. And brother, he prayed and the fire of God fell and consumed that sacrifice. Why didn't the fire fall on the people? Because the people's death wouldn't satisfy the holy demands of a holy God. Only the sacrifice that was ordained. Why did the fire of God fall? Because here's a man that God's committed himself to. Y'all remember Abraham? It says over in the book of Hebrews, amen. It says Abraham. Did you know Abraham's called the father of faith in the book of Hebrews? You know what it said about Abraham? He went out not knowing where he went. He didn't have a clue where he's going. He's the father of faith. The Lord said, Abraham, gather up your stuff, follow me, and I'm going to lead you to a land for an inheritance. Boy, he come back and said, boys, tear down the tents, round up the camels. We're leaving this place. Where are we going, Abraham? I don't know. We're following God. Let me tell you something. That sounds foreign to the modern day church.
Amen. Let
me tell you something. But if you follow God and the call of God, a lot of times you're going to do a lot of going without knowing. And you know why we refuse to go? Because we demand to know. And you will only experience God to the degree that you obey God, and to the degree that you obey God will be the degree that you know God. Do you know why we don't know much of God in the depth depth and the height and the width of His love? Because we refuse to obey Him to that degree. To follow Him when we don't even know where we're going. All we have is a word from God. And everywhere you follow His eye, everywhere He went, He pitched a tent. You know what He's saying? I'm a pilgrim passing through. This world ain't my home. Everywhere He went, He pitched a tent, built an altar, and worshiped God. My eyes is on God. I got Him in my scope. And boy, when God moves, I move. Wherever He goes, I go. I don't know where I'm going. I'm following God. I don't need to know where I'm going. I'm just following. You know what drives people crazy when they go on mission trips with me? Every morning, where are we going today? I said, if I told you, you wouldn't know. What difference does it make when you go into God tell you come here? Yeah, they're just getting the truck, let's go. That drives people up the wall, folks. Unless you give them a printed paper, I mean, every minute of every day, a program, amen. Brother, it drives them crazy. I said, just go by faith. Just when I say get in the truck, get in the truck. When I say get out, get out. That's all you got to do. And there'll be people you'll preach to and witness to. Amen. God will move. Amen. Listen, several years ago I was praying and God spoke to me. He said, go to Mongolia. I said, Lord, I don't know nobody in Mongolia. He said, you know me. Go to Mongolia. I said, but Lord, I always go on an invitation. So I wait for an invitation. He said, this is it. And after wrestling with the Lord, I just got on a plane. I went to Mongolia. I'd never been there. Didn't know a soul there. Got off the plane. Said, all right, Lord, here I am. And the Lord led me to a little place. Found me a hotel. And the next day, Lord let me pass cross paths with a little preacher on the sidewalk. Speak English. Told him what God sent me there to do. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I went by. I said, where can I buy a map? He got me a map. Boy, got me a map. And I prayed. And I said, right here. It was a road map, but he said, man, ain't no roads out there. I said, well, yeah, it shows right here on the map. He said, no, you don't understand Mongolia. It ain't no road out there. I said, would you go out there with me, be my interpreter? He said, yeah, I've never been out there. I'll go with you. So I bought the provisions, rented the vehicle, and we went out there, folks, 2 days driving through cow pastures, didn't have a clue where we was going. I mean, it was so far, they would ask people, you'd see a herdsman, you'd say, we're going to Tourette. They say, I heard it's that way, just keep going. They didn't even know where it was at. We got out there and I spent 10 days in a tent going to that village and never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had 42 people answer the call. I said, now I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to buy y'all some Bibles. I'm going to come back. I'll teach you what a church is, organize you into a church, and we'll baptize you, and we're going to begin to disciple you. I'll be back. You can't tell them to go to church. Ain't no church to go to. Then none of them have Bibles. You can't tell them to read a Bible. I said, I'll be back. So I left, but you see, the folks, here's how the Spirit of God works. See, you got to understand something. You're not the only person God uses for His kingdom. Amen. He's got other people out there. Amen. And it says we are laborers together. One plants, one waters, but God brings increase. Tell you what worship looks like, folks. And so God, a month after I left, God put it in a Mongolian's heart to go out there. He'd done went through seminary and training. Said, go out there and plant a church. He goes out there. He knows the gospel ain't reached out there yet. He goes, knocks on the door. I come tell you about Jesus. They said, we know about Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I said, how you know about Jesus? Said, some guy come through and told about Jesus. We denounced Buddha and all of that. And we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He said, well, I come to plant a church. They said, yeah, he said you'd come plant a church. I didn't know them people. I didn't know that them people were there. So all that year, he gathered them up, baptized that 42, even led some more to the Lord, and they constituted and started the church. So I go back a year later. I go knock on the door. I got the Bibles. I said, remember me? He said, yeah. I said, well, I come to tell y'all and teach y'all about a church, disciple you, and baptize you. They said, we already baptized. I said, who baptized you? They said, a pastor. I said, you got a pastor? I said, yeah. I said, take me to him. He took me to the pastor. Boy, they had a little place where they was worshiping in his home. And folks, he'd done baptized all 42. I gave him the names. He said, yeah, I baptized all of them, plus some more. And I worshiped with him for about 3 days, gave him Bibles, you know. And man, we had a big worship service. And then the Spirit of God says, now leave. And now go to the reindeer people. about 1,000 miles up in the high country. They never heard the gospel. And folks, I left. And over 10 years, I ain't wrote them people. I ain't sent an email, a text, a phone call, nothing. I ain't been back to that place because they got a pastor. About 2 years ago, I sent a guy with me. I said, listen, I'm going to reindeer people. Would you go out there to this town? It's going to take you 2 days to get out there. And I said, and just see if that church is still there. I'd just like to know. He went out there and spent a week with them. He come back and said, brother, they got about 70 in that church. And we had some more folks that say, he said, man, God is being glorified. Yeah, that's what worship looks like, folks. Amen. See, if you're going to follow God, you're going to do a lot of going without knowing. You don't need to know. All you need to know is Christ. All you need to know that he's called. When people say, I want to go with you, you know the first thing I say to them? I say, you pray and you get a word from God. And if God says go, you go. Don't worry about nothing else. But if he don't says go, don't you go. You need a word from God. Because if you get a word from God, God's committed himself to you. Amen. Ain't about my commitment to him. It's about his commitment to me. And he's never failed one. Amen. Amen. I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. Brother, you can write it down. Now, let me move on. I'll hurry and quit. Listen. He has moved Levi. He has moved Matthew from a life of security to a life of insecurity. He's moved Levi from a life of finality. Amen. Listen, I got a good job. I got a good home. I got a good family. And man, I'm skimming off the top. And boy, I got riches beyond measure. And now I got this guy that says, follow me. Well, where are we going? I didn't tell you. You just got to come. Well, can you guarantee me so much money? I ain't guaranteeing you nothing. But peace. Joy. Happiness. That you're in the will of God. Follow me. And brother, he walked out of the realm of security into a realm of insecurity. He left a realm that he thought was sufficient to a realm of the one who is sufficient. He followed Christ. And he is saying, Christ is all I need. Now, I'm a hurry and quit. I don't like long-winded preacher. You see, faithful is he who calleth. Faithful is he who calleth, who also will do it. Listen, Christ has committed himself to us. Amen. Faithful is he that calleth, who also will do it. So we see the call of Christ and the commitment of Christ. But listen now, let's just look at the communion and we're going to quit. The communion of Christ. He ate with them. You know what the eating is? Eating is fellowship. We call it the Lord's Supper. What are we doing? We're fellowshipping together as the body of Christ, remembering his death till he comes. They're eating together. Communion. Notice what he said. He said, I didn't come for those who are whole. I come for those that are sick. Yeah. Now, sinners going to have to repent. Listen, if you're a sinner and you're going to worship God, you're going to have to repent of your sin. Mm-hmm. It's called the sick to repentance. You're going to have to repent to be saved. Saints, we're going to have to repent to worship. That's right. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And only when we repent will we have fellowship. And you listen, I'm quitting. Listen what he says. In some of Jesus' last words on the earth, in John chapter 17, you know what he said in verse 4? I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work thou gavest me to do. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I come to be a servant. And he also said in Matthew 10, he said, the disciple's not above his master. Well, we got a lot of big shot people in religious places thinking they're somebody and they need to be served. Yeah. Yes, instead of humbling themselves and being a servant. Mm-hmm. He said, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. And then he said, verse 5, now glorify, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, glorify thou me. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yeah. The Spirit says come, the bride says come. Let him as a thirst, let him come and drink at the fountains of waters freely. Come. What does he say again over there in John 16 and 37? John 6 and 37. All the Father's given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out.
Amen.
You know what that means? Communion. The communion of Christ. He says, you come, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him without any reservations, no questions. Where are we going? No. Hey, I'm just following because he called. He's the Christ. He's worthy of my all in all and everything. I'm going to follow you. And Christ said, let's go to your house and have supper. Let's fellowship. Let's commune together. And they commune. Listen, folks. When I die on my deathbed, I don't want to have any pretenses of perfection or illusions or disillusions. I just want to be able to say like verse 4, Father, I finished the work you called me to. I'm not trying to do Brother Craig's work. He didn't call me to do his work. He didn't call me to do Brother Matthew's work. He didn't call me to do Brother Bo's work. He called me to do my work. I can only do what he's called me to do. And we got a lot of people in churches trying to act like other people and do like other people because they were successful, so I do it their way. Listen, God didn't call him to a religious program or principles. Brother, he's called to a person.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And when I exhale my last breath of air to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and brother, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. He is still in communion with me. And brother, he brings me into the very throne room where there's 10,000 times, 10,000s of angels saying with a loud voice, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power. And brother, I walk past those 23 elders. I walk past those four beasts and I fall on my face at the throne of the Christ that called me, an undefiled, unadulterated, eternal worship. Amen.
Amen.
That's what worship looks like. Worship begun, it ain't got no beginning. The Bible says in Romans, worship's eternal.
Yes, sir, it is.
Brother, it's eternal as God and eternity past. This is eternal as God and eternity future.
Amen.
And he's just letting us get in on it. Amen.
Amen.
That's what worship looks like. Let's pray. Father, today, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your high and your holy calling that's beyond us. Beyond our understanding why you would choose and desire such as us. Just men of feet of clay from the dust. But God, we know we're on your will. We know you're the potter. We're in your hands. And whatever vessel you desire to make of us, Lord, make it. It'll be for your glory. It's not up for us to decide what we want to be and how we want to do it and where we want to go. It's up to getting a call and a word from you, oh God. Give us a fresh breath, a fresh call. We'd know without a shadow of a doubt who we are in you, Christ. And to know that you're committed to us and whatever you called us to do, you're going to do it. That your name would be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.